gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to His Stories Broadcast, Podcast.
Yes.
Everything cast. And before we get started with today's show, we're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for this place, this space, and this time. Yeah. We ask, Lord God, that you would speak to many hearts today, Lord, through the testimony that will be shared today, oh God.
Yes.
And we just thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Hey, how's it going, Kevin?
Hey, yo, I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
The weekend was good.
Yeah.
It was a long weekend.
Okay.
Weekend, I performed the wedding ceremony on Saturday.
Yeah, that's fun.
It was very fun, actually. Uh-huh. But that was cool. Yeah.
Especially when they like each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they like each other.
Yeah.
And then church Saturday, church Sunday.
Wow.
I was so tired that Sunday. I did something I don't usually do. I took a nap.
You took a nap.
I took a 2.5 hour nap.
Well, it's called a day of rest, Gil.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But
not
I'm still getting
pastor,
used to it.
Right?
Yeah.
it is a work day for a pastor. That's what most people don't understand.
So, exactly. So
yeah.
Always working. But how about you? How was your weekend?
Yeah. We had a refreshing time. We went over to a church over in Napanee and a huge, humongous church. And it was just fun to be a part of that experience. And,
cool.
And I did a little bit what you did. It rained pretty hard that day.
Yeah.
And I slept mostly through it. So that was kind of nice.
I was
dog tired.
Good.
Yeah. No, it's been a good weekend and a good week so far.
Cool.
Very
nice.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, man, I guess we shouldn't
Go right to our guest. Yeah, we don't want to bore anybody.
No.
We have a very special guest with us, and her name is Jeanette Burdell. She also has a unique title as well. She is the director, correct, of the St. Joe County Right to Life. And we scheduled her maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago to come in, and it's very timely today, I believe, to have her in and to hear some of her thoughts of some things that have transpired on the nationwide level. But also, we want to first dig into her heart and to see how God has really, I think, blessed you through many of the experiences that you have. So welcome, Jeanette.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
welcome.
You, Kevin. So good to
glad
be here.
You're here. Yeah. And we've gotten to know you. So if you could share some things that maybe God has put on your heart, and we'll just pepper you with questions in between. How's that sound?
Sure.
Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Do my best.
Yeah. So go ahead. If there's some things that the Lord has, when was some of the first times that you encountered God, encountered the Lord?
Well, I don't have like a lightning bolt story.
Right, yeah.
No lightning bolt conversions. Yeah. Born a cradle Catholic, as they say. But I remember the most just falling in love with the Lord when I was in about second grade.
Mm.
Just finding him in nature on my bike rides through my country neighborhood and just feeling his spirit and being at peace with him.
Wow.
You know, there was formation before that in the home.
Sure.
But that's my earliest memory of really loving God and feeling God's presence, I think.
Yeah. What a huge benefit to have that, to be able to have parents that that sounds like they displayed the Lord's love. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. I'm so grateful for that. And my grandparents, and I even had a Jewish grandfather, but he agreed to raise the family in the Christian faith.
Wow.
And my grandmother was just a huge Christian example.
That's wonderful. That's good. So how did it progress from there?
Oh, boy. You know, just getting involved with youth groups, even in public school, you know, in campus ministry and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so interdenominational as well as Catholic. And, I mean, just walking with the Lord always. You know, there's always times, I think, especially in a young person's life when you have doubts.
Right.
But I said, God, if you're God, and I know you are, even though I'm trying to figure all this out, I owe you my worship.
Mm-hmm.
So So I tried to stay faithful to that even through the doubting times.
Yeah, sure. That sounds good. So you mentioned the doubting times. Can you expand on that just a little bit? What some of those times in your life were? It was just like digging in a little bit to you.
Sure,
so that's
sure.
All right. So.
You know, college mainly. I think that's not unusual for a lot of young people.
And where did you go?
I went to St. Mary's here in South Bend.
Uh-huh.
You know, and not that formation wasn't there, but of course you're free to do, to choose it or to not choose it. Mm. And, you know, just you get pretty philosophical at that age and start wondering what the right path is and asking all those questions, which I think is our human nature.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but again, just feeling like, well, I know God is God, even while I'm trying to figure out the right way. And so I went to church every Sunday. Okay. And actually, what probably kept me there, and this is a great gift from God, is I'm musical. So I've been playing the flute since I was young and been a music minister since I was 12 in the church.
Wow.
So so I got a little college job even. I mean, they paid this position to lead music in our chapels.
Yeah.
And I think that was God's way of keeping me there.
On the hook.
Like, well, you're figuring it out. You're getting paid for this, so you're going to keep coming every Sunday. And that, looking back, has just been such a blessing that kept me rooted.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just as I became a young adult and became married and involved in my church, just engaging with other women, women's groups, and Bible studies and things like that. And it doesn't take much of effort on our part.
Right.
The Lord is always there.
He is. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jenna, in the work that you do as a director of Right to Life, how important has your faith been in how you interact with the public and in your mission and what drives you every day to do what you do?
Well, my faith is the whole reason I am there. Mm-hmm. It's not a high-paying job, I'm sure you can imagine. Glorified volunteer. Yeah,
get on a Learjet anywhere.
Really? I'd park next to you in the parking lot. The Rolls Royce. Is that yours out there?
Not mine.
Not yours? Okay.
I do it because I believe in it. I believe in the sanctity of life. You know, that's what the Christian faith tells us, is that we're all created in God's image and likeness. Mm-hmm. And before he formed us in the womb, he knew us. And I was raised that way and never doubted that. Mm-hmm. That was not ever a doubt that I had. So, you know, so there's just been always the Lord working in me. You know, I've discerned throughout my adult life what he would have me do. I raised my children, did not work, stayed at home. Little part-time jobs. I had a furniture business and things like that. I actually was a music director, but that's a weekend job. And then worked for the Phoenix Rescue Mission. We lived in Phoenix for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that was my first service job, and really connecting with the poor and the vulnerable, the homeless.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I mean, it adds great meaning to one's life. But my flaw is that I don't get around to volunteering very well. I stay too busy. And so I knew in my prayer time that the Lord was calling me to make my volunteerism my job.
Wow.
So I do get paid for it, but not, you know, it's it's what keeps me there. However, you know, it's really doing God's work, I hope.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, and you were involved then. From that, you also have been involved in other agencies besides the Right to Life. Can you name some of the other agencies as well?
Sure. Women's Care Center here locally, you know, a pregnancy resource center. And that was super fulfilling.
What was that like? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Very fulfilling. I worked there for 6 years. Very hard work. Again, working with a lot of poor population and just helping them, you know, mentoring them, really. Through a crisis pregnancy. Not all are in crisis. Some just need help.
Right.
And but those that are faced with a tough decision of whether or not to carry the pregnancy to term, we're just there to walk with her and to show her her options. And so that was hugely fulfilling.
Yeah. And you're showing a tremendous amount of God's love through that as well. Yeah. So how did what was the progression then where you went? How long were you with the Women's Care Center?
6 years.
6 years. Significant amount of time. So how long were you then? What, there was a transition then that goes straight into.
I mean, I was feeling a little restless. There were some things on different levels that I wanted to do. I think that God was calling me to do. Perhaps I started studying theology, and getting a master's in theology and thinking, what will I do next with that, while I was still working at Women's Care Center. And then this job just sort of dropped in my lap. I wasn't necessarily looking to change yet. But I do feel that there's so much to do besides helping women one-on-one. That definitely needs to happen.
Right.
But on a broader picture. And this position came open. I received an email, prayed about it, applied for it.
So. Okay. So how has that been? I mean, wide open question, because that is quite the decision. You do become a mark, so to speak.
Yeah. Lightning rod.
A lightning rod, yeah. And so how has the lightning rod been able to take the strikes?
You have to have the Lord's help with that, right? Always kind of watching my back. I would leave work. It's long days. There's so much to do, and we are a very small staff.
Yeah.
And, I'll leave in the winter well beyond dark, and sometimes the last person to leave the office building.
Wow.
Always kind of watch my back, but asking my guardian angel to protect me.
Yeah.
And I've got a great guardian angel who does just that. And, so far, so good. God has work for you. He'll protect you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. He'll protect you. Have you actually received physical threats?
No. I mean, a little hostility from the other side, but not in the form of that at all.
All right.
Good to hear. Good. And, there has been a major victory that has taken place with St. Joe County in particular. Can you expand a little bit about that? Because your office is very close to the abortion clinic.
Right next door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how can you, for those of, there's many within that are listening that don't know what has transpired. And so if you could share a little bit about that too.
Sure. For the first time in 43 years, St. Joseph County is without a freestanding abortion clinic.
Yeah, praise God.
So praise God indeed. That is a huge victory, a huge celebration. We didn't do it alone.
Yeah.
It took so many things aligning.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, God's will. He brought everything together from the governor on down.
Yeah.
It took so many parties. Abortion clinics don't close up easily because they seem to be exempt from the law.
Yeah.
Because in the name of access to abortion, just because that is now legal in our country, they're protected almost.
Uh-huh.
And they get a pass. They do not have to meet the same medical standards as other freestanding clinics.
Yeah.
And for many years, St. Joseph County Right to Life has been reporting these violations. They're public record. You just need to know where to ask for them. So at the Department of Health, we have gotten the reports of the investigations and made some of our own observations, being right next door.
Right.
But they fall on deaf ears until somebody believes in enforcing the law. And the current Governor Pence that we have believes in that.
Sure.
And so he has appointed people that also believe in that, just in keeping the law. And at the Department of Health, currently we have people that are doing that. So the over 2,000 complaints that we filed on that clinic finally were acted upon.
Came to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jeanette. We are going to pick this conversation back
absolutely.
Up. And thank you for sharing a little bit about your personal journey. But we're going to jump into a little bit more lightning rod stuff, I suppose, and touch upon those things right after this this commercial break. So we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
All right, and we are back with Jeanette Burdett.
Burdell.
Excuse me. I mispronounced it. I'm so sorry.
No, you got it right.
Okay. Yeah, you guys got it right, Kevin. Jeanette Burdell with St. Joseph County Right to Life. And we've been hearing a little bit about her personal testimony and the work she's doing in protecting the lives of unborn children. And so we're back with her now. And just going to maybe talk a little bit about some of the social stuff going on right now. Mm-hmm. We talked about how appropriate this and well-timed this was because of a recent Supreme Court ruling. Maybe talk about that and how that's kind of affecting your work right now.
It's so new that it hasn't affected us yet. I did one TV interview yesterday, but I imagine there are going to be more. And we're hoping to put other voices there. I have a doctor, pro-life doctor, who's willing to speak up about this atrocity, about this just activist judges overturning the rules of the state. You know, the state of Texas has an admitting privilege law, in 2013, that abortionists had to have hospital admitting privileges, just like every other ambulatory outpatient surgical center does. Mm-hmm. As I said before the break, they're just held to a different standard or no standard. And so really, this is about women's health. It truly is. The reason pro-lifers like it is because we know that most abortionists can't be held to that standard. Or will not meet that standard. They're not usually the top of their class. In fact, they're the very opposite, many of them. I won't say that about all. Right. And so when the standards are that low, women get hurt.
Sure.
And so so truly, truly, pro-lifers care about the woman and the unborn child. And we see complications left and right in emergency rooms where the abortionist is not held responsible. He's not called in. He doesn't care for her afterwards. And so the fact that these rogue judges, as I would call them, would overturn the law of a state, in my mind, is not constitutional. Mm-hmm. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, obviously, but I have read the opinions of those that are, and they say this really isn't constitutional. It's judges being activists, and we're out of balance right now in our country. Mm-hmm. To say that all three powers are not equal, and that one has the ultimate last word, even over a state's constitutional right to regulate themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the people of Texas voted in those decision makers, and now their voice has been taken away.
Yeah. We've kind of toned in on a different angle a little bit, because we've been talking about, obviously, the Supreme Court and the decision that happened as the recording of this broadcast just yesterday, and so this is still fresh and new for us. And by the time this airs, some of the things may disseminate a little bit through, and some of the impacts it may have on our state. There's different the way I look at it, and I've been shared this with other pastors. Where there's sort of different kingdoms within our land, and one of the kingdoms is government, but we have another kingdom, and that's the church, which is the eternal kingdom, and so. Let me ask you this from a perspective of having to fight this fight. How do you see, and we've talked about this before we got on the air, and you mentioned just a little bit already about unity within the church and their focus in on this very important matter, because we mentioned before there's close to 60 million lives that have been lost. And the church's response to that, not just the Catholic Church, but the Protestant Church. And you have a sort of a unique perspective because you have been working with both now for a while. So if I could open that up to you as well.
Yes. One of our outreach methods is to the churches in lots of ways. One, just to build the pro-life community, because all Christians should be pro-life.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just not top of mind, so we have to convict people. We don't try to be political. In fact, St. Joseph County Right to Life doesn't have a political action committee. But we try to guide consciences in the way that the pastors should. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's not ethical to take the life of another human, especially of an innocent, vulnerable human.
Sure.
We say the same about euthanasia, you know, about the handicapped. We don't believe in assisted suicide on so the other end of life spectrum.
Yeah.
But as far as the unborn go, it's just a truth. And, you know, you could consider the voting issues. There are so many. And this is timely, too, with what's going on in our country and coming up on an election season. But if Christians don't bond together on the social issues, I mean, if we let economy take first seat or job creation. Not that those things aren't important. They are important for a healthy society. But if the family isn't protected and marriage isn't protected, right. religious freedom isn't protected, and above all, life isn't protected,
yeah.
the first right to life, it's in our, you know, Constitution, then where are we? What? None of those other laws or ideals will matter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to say one-issue voter, it's kind of the paramount issue that all others should align with.
Uh-huh.
Or fall under,
sure.
I believe.
Sure.
And so back to your question about the church and our response, the Christian church at large just, mm-hmm. I believe, needs to link arms on this.
Uh-huh.
If every Christian voter got out of their easy chair, right, and went to the polls, we should be able to overturn any atrocity of these types, you know, any of the social atrocities, and say, this is not God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to stand up and be God's voice and his hands and feet. Politically, just physically, and helping the poor, the vulnerable, but we've got to speak out.
Yeah.
What have you found has been the biggest challenge in working with churches? Because you know, a good portion of our listening audience are Christians already, mm-hmm. or attend churches.
Yeah.
Sometimes there seems there may be somewhat of a disconnect with, like, oh, I don't want to get political, or I don't mm-hmm. want to. Or you may be just seen as people who go out and picket and protest.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like is the disconnect with churches or Christians not becoming more active with social justice issues and things like abortion?
Oh, I would say maybe it's twofold. One is that the life issue has become politicized.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's a political issue. I mean, it has become a political issue,
right. mm-hmm.
but
right.
it's God's issue.
Yeah.
It's God's
issue.
Will.
Yeah.
It's a moral
yeah.
issue.
Right.
And, you know, that's what politics is. It polarizes people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah. Amen to that.
I know a lot of pro-life Democrats, for example.
Right.
And so I think that because the Democratic Party's platform is anti-life now, it's got a pro-choice component to it, very
right.
strong. I encourage every Democrat to read it. And I'm not picking sides here. I'm just saying that's when our churches feel like, oh, well, we can't be political. And so pastors, too, I understand that sensitivity. But if you heard Mike Spencer speak at our prayer dinner in April, mm-hmm. he is a former pastor uh-huh. and who is now full-time in the pro-life mission.
Sure.
And he does not give pastors a pass.
Yeah.
He is not sympathetic. He's like, you must speak up mm-hmm. for vulnerable, innocent human life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think secondly, so besides the politics, mm-hmm. the other side of that is a lot of congregations have a lot of post-abortive women in them. And pastors know this.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be sensitive mm-hmm. to that issue. And they don't want to heap guilt on a woman by speaking about the evil of abortion. And I don't blame them. Mike Spencer blames them. He's like, no, you still can't be silent. Mm-hmm. You have to do both. You have to embrace the woman, show that there is God's love, mercy, and forgiveness, and minister to her, mm-hmm. help her to have healing. But if you don't speak up for life, the other women in that congregation will think, well, this really isn't an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor's not speaking about it. Therefore, it must be okay.
Right.
It's a passe thing to think abortion is wrong. So our silence actually can cause sin,
mm-hmm.
allow
mm-hmm.
sin. Mm-hmm. And we do not want to be culpable for that, do we?
Right.
So Mike Spencer, I mean, Google him. He's amazing at the Life mm-hmm. Training Institute. Mm-hmm. Does not mince words when he says it is the church's responsibility
yeah.
to speak up for life and to get women the healing they need. And men. I mean, many fathers have been responsible for allowing the death of their child.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was something, too. It's like a lot of times we heap the responsibility on the woman, but it takes two, obviously. You know, according to my biology class.
And right.
And the man is excused from all that.
Yeah.
And to be able to have that, to go before your Lord, knowing that, okay, there's a life that no longer exists, and maybe you had a big influence on making that decision happen as well.
Or you thought you had no voice because society
right.
keeps
yeah, exactly.
saying that it's a woman's issue. And
yeah.
that's not true.
Right.
Men have a
right.
leadership responsibility
yeah.
to
yeah.
fight for the life of their child.
Mm-hmm.
But many men mourn lost fatherhood. We know that.
Sure,
just
right.
as many women regret
sure.
their abortion
sure.
and are starting to speak up on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and there's a love there because God is deeply in love with us. He's deeply in love mm-hmm. with his creation. And so... It doesn't matter the time of our lowest low, he's there, and he wants us to not go into sin because of the hurt that, that will in many ways be caused by that. Mm-hmm. It's not that he doesn't love us. Yeah, he deeply, deeply loves us. And so I can sense your heart and sense that you definitely have a love for the people within this county. And mm-hmm. so it's awesome.
But and there's always, yes, forgiveness. Always God's, yeah. If you doubt that, God's not big enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you don't know God. Know Absolutely. That God forgives. And there are yeah. a lot of healing programs for the post-abortive here in our county.
Do you have a quick story that you could share, maybe of someone,
yeah.
A testimony, you know, this is a testimony show, testimony of maybe someone you were able to help and kind of got out of this process. I'm sure there's many. Anyone particularly that comes to mind?
Sure, there are many, but one of the most recent was a young woman who accidentally came into our office. As you know, as you have said, our office is next door to the former abortion clinic. Yeah. And so she thought she was in the right place. I think that's providential that God mm-hmm. led her in there. And I happened to be passing by and asked her if she needed help finding something. And she asked me where the abortion clinic was. Mm. And I said, well, before I tell you that, can we talk? And we stood in the hallway and talked mm-hmm. for 20 minutes. Mm. And I said, and you'll see when you go over there, it is not a good place. And I told her about all the violations they were facing and things like that. This was before the closure. Yeah. And we talked about a lot of things, and she came back. After she went to her initial appointment, she came back into my office, and she said, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for telling me the truth. Mm. I did go. You were right. I can't go through with this. She was 19. Mm. And the little bit that I had learned in the hallway was that she and her boyfriend had broken up. And when I invited her into my office, we talked for another 45 minutes, and she said, my boyfriend broke up with me because I was going to abort.
Really?
Oh, and
really?
I said, see, you have
you have that, yeah.
The support and yeah. the love that so many others don't. So anyway, I just yeah. encouraged her. We had a great talk. And
wow.
Mm. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be
awesome.
To God.
Yeah. Jeanette, any last couple of seconds we have, yeah. could you tell people out there, and you said, she said thank you to you. We're saying also thank you.
Thank you.
For the
yeah.
work you do.
Yeah.
How can people out there get in contact with you and volunteer and become involved in what you're doing?
Thank you. Yes, we are a grassroots organization. We take many hands. I mean, we are the hands yes. and feet of Christ. Yeah. We believe that and we live that. So our phone number is 574-232-LIFE, 232-LIFE. And our website is prolifemichiana.org, prolifemichiana.org.
Great. Well, it's my hope that you have an abundance of staff, that the treasures just come rolling in. So that way, we saw that in the book of Nehemiah, where the treasures were there. And so I'm asking for the same thing from our Heavenly Father, that you would be just given so
Thank
much
you.
And so many great resources to do that. So
Thank
we can,
you very much.
We'll pray out, and then we'll be done. I can pray.
Sure. Okay.
Father in heaven, just thank you so much for what you're doing in this land. Lord, I do ask for a unity within the church that we would be on bended knee before you and knowing that you're a God and that we're not, Lord. And so we give this item to you, this area in which there's blood in the land. And so, but we ask that there be healing in the land instead. And for to do that, your people need to come as one. To you. And so, Lord, I ask you to be with our servant, Jeanette, and just ask you just watch over her and the pro-life movement. We just give you praise. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.